Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up with Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Chuck is wrapping some stuff up at the newspaper, the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. We go to press next week, but he will be joining us, I think, as soon as he gets here on Zoom momentarily. But, you know, today, just reaction, celebration, looking ahead. Oh, here comes Chuck. So want to get anybody, if you want to go ahead and chime in, as always, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you want to raise your hand and talk or just go ahead and talk, that's cool too. And we'll read your comments on the side. Want to first start off, hey, Chuck.
Hey, Julie.
What a night. I am delighted to say, actually, that I was completely wrong. And once again, Chuck, you were right about what would happen.
It's just so boring that happens all the time. It's just so boring.
I thought we would still be counting. I thought the Democrats were going to pull off another steal. As it turns out, by the time, you know, I finally went to bed about, I think, 11:30 last night, and it was pretty, The Hill was declaring it. Fox News was not. They were annoying me. We'll get to them in a second. But you said you thought they would get results. But, you know, you and Peter Boyle, as it was hilarious, were on Tom Martino's show briefly today. And on that, you admitted, though, one thing you didn't expect was the landslide. So your thoughts?
Not the national popular vote, massive one. I mean, nowhere over, you know, you thought, you know, some people had predicted by the slimmest of margins that Republicans might take all the seven swing states, but never did they predict they'd take these other states. I mean, it's by $5 million, $5 million people voted for Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. And let me read some of the comments. And we're going to get to all of these comments. These are all great comments. Boom, right off the show. Where are the 15 million votes Biden got that Harris didn't? Maybe still in the printer. Sandra, you are channeling your inner Julie here. This is what I've been talking about all morning. 41 Colorado counties out of 64 voted for Trump. I think we need the Electoral College voting in Colorado like we do for the presidential voting. That's what I said, Sandra. We need an electoral college in Colorado. I'm tired of the populated Colorado cities telling the rural areas what to do and how to do it. From Jim, did you hear Kamala's concession speech calling for unity, congratulating President Trump and wishing him and the country the best? Yeah, me neither. And Jacob says Chuck is right part of the time. Well, here's the latest numbers. As you said, right now I saw on the Hill, Trump had 312 electoral college votes. He was winning the popular vote. He took all of the battleground states. At the Senate right now stands at 52 Republicans, gained 3 seats. The House at 210 Republicans, gained 3 seats. And you were mentioning, even Martino, that in other states, the down ticket, the coattail riding, was also another benefit, right?
Yeah, I mean, just like in Colorado, there are a lot of states, you know, considered conservative states, overwhelmingly Republican, but they don't act that way because the uniparty, to get the moderates joined with the Democrats, and they overwhelm the grassroots Republicans. And it's really, you know, if you're a grassroots Republican, it's awful that everything you do is, you know, your own party moderates destroy it. Well, in Wyoming, they have something called the Freedom Caucus, and they have now taken over.
Right.
In Texas, they still have to vote. It'll be determined by who they get as the Speaker of the House. The present Speaker is a rhino, and there'll be a battle over the next couple of weeks if they can get them out. If they do, then Texas will also be a lot more willing to take over on conservative causes.
Right. Well, in Colorado, the grassroots are in charge. But I think let's talk a little bit about what happened. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. Morning Joe Scarborough, like a light bulb hit him, I guess, or maybe just a thump over the head with a piece of plyboard. He said, "Well, you know, the Democrat Party is radically out of step with the American people." It's like, you
And how
think?
about you, Morning
Yeah,
Joe?
how about you? And that's the thing. This election, it's not particularly hard to figure out. It's like what we've been saying for 8 years, that Trump did not create the movement. The movement is created by people who are sick and tired of elites and crabby single white women with master's degree or PhDs who live by themselves with their cats, telling the rest of us what we have to do. We're tired of Barack Obama coming out and lecturing us. The Democrat Party keeps thinking that because they are so much smarter than the rest of us and they're the elites, that they can bully us, boss us around, order us around. And I think, you know, I saw, and I will play the soundbite. I mean, this was the revenge of the American people, I think. Donald Trump, what, in Michigan, took 60% of the Hispanic vote,
Wow.
20% of the black male vote in Georgia, and he gained 6% with black women there.
Wow.
In a lot of ways, I think, Chuck, it comes down, I think, to common sense. Like all elections do. And that is, people tend, when, you know, to ask themselves, am I better off now than I was before? And you had AP poll saying 80% of the people they were polling said they want substantial change. Well, yeah, you know, that's because things suck out there in the economy and with the social media and all of that. And I think people know what it was like under Donald Trump. They know what it was like under Joe Biden. And so, everything aside, forget about abortion, forget about Nazis, forget about Hitler. They're like, yeah, things were better before. So I want to go back to what we had before. Don't you think it's not brain surgery? The American people are like, things suck now. They didn't suck before. So I want to go back to when it didn't suck.
Well, politics and elections are all about conning people to vote for your side as opposed to the con job they're receiving from your opponents. Whether how much the average voter is voting his own interest or not, I mean, who knows? But I think this is the case where Kamala did it too much. Kind of like I come from a middle class family, and you got to go, and she just, she had a theory. And again, look, we'll be like Britain with Keir Starmer and Labour. We'll just not say anything. When we get elected, we can do whatever the hell we want, but we don't have to tell
Well, that was
anything.
her problem. She couldn't talk about what she would do because what she would do is what she's been doing, right?
Or
And if
what
she
somebody told
lied,
her to do.
right, and if somebody, and if she lied about it, then her base would desert her. And we'll get to, we'll talk about the Colorado election here. A lot of stuff to unpack there, I think. And from Charlene too big to rig, I think that's true. I think, though, credit really has to be given to Laura Trump and the RNC. I think they did an outstanding job of being ahead of the game as much as possible, with the election rigging, right? I think they were able.
It was always a question to me, Ronna McDaniel, was she awful or was she trying the best she can under, tough circumstances? The answer is she was awful.
She was awful.
I mean, putting in Laura Trump and I forget who the other guy's name is.
That's Scott Pressler.
Scott Pressler, I mean, they were 1,000 times better. They brought all kind of lawsuits. They didn't spend it all on flowers,
No. Well, when one of the states was like, okay, we're going to go home, the RNC jumped in and they said, no, you're not. You're going to keep counting. Well, I want to play, you know, one of the things that's interesting talking about the 18 million votes is, and I think there are a couple of reasons for this, but Kamala Harris did worse than Joe Biden. And there was a pretty funny moment on CNN when they were explaining that to Jake Tapper. So, hey, Doug, if we could please play the Harris did worse soundbite.
So you asked, are there any places that the vice president is overperforming Joe Biden in 2020? So we can show you that as well. We just bring that out here. Harris overperforming 2020.
Holy smokes.
There you go. So let this go away and see if there's anything on the east side there.
Literally nothing?
Literally nothing.
Literally not one county?
So you asked.
Literally not one county. So how did Kamala Harris have 18 million fewer votes than Joe Biden? Well, I think we know, right? It may be too big to rig. Maybe they caught some of it ahead of time. I suspect part of it too is there simply wasn't the enthusiasm for Kamala Harris, right? She was an awful candidate, which we all knew. And so it's hard to get your
Oh,
ballot
as if
mules.
Joe Biden was the most exciting candidate you ever saw. I mean, he hid in his basement. I mean, the discrepancy between Kamala Harris and Biden, or Barack Obama, who really got about the same amount of votes
Is Joe Biden.
as no, he got
But as there were all of the presidents were the same, and then all of a sudden, boom, Joe Biden gets like 81 million. Everybody else had like 69, 70, something
where did
like that.
those 18 million people go? I mean, this wasn't an
You
uncontested
use the word
election.
people. There weren't 18 million people. There were 18 million ballots,
Well,
is
isn't
what we're
that the
talking
answer?
about.
I mean, honestly,
Right.
isn't that the
Right.
answer? It's not that the Democrats didn't try, not that they didn't think it was important for them to oppress us, not that they didn't pour billions into it, not that they didn't have more money than us. They just
Right.
didn't come out. They were hiding in the
Right. No, well,
basement.
Jacob says they're still on the printer. It's
Yeah, they're
like,
still on the grid. That's right.
well,
They've got to run them through another
James
25
O'Keefe
times.
taking pictures of people carrying boxes in. I think, again, the Republican Party, and here's the thing. I mean, okay, we won this time. I mean, the Democrats, it's not like as we've said before, they're not going to be like, oh, well, I guess we lost, so we won't try ballot harvesting
Yeah,
anymore. They'll figure
that's the key.
something
The
else
key
out.
is we got to change the rules to our favor this time.
Exactly, as long as they're there. Well, something else I want to talk about that's kind of interesting, and I go back to the revenge of the American people. I think the Democrats, and I'm going to say too, this about the Front Range of Colorado, are out of touch with the rest of the country. They're out of touch with what most people think. Like Jacob was saying, was it Jacob? Jim, who says, I don't vote for people who can do something for me. I vote for people who don't tread on me. Exactly. And I think that was the thing. The American people spoke loud and clear. And Trump has built the biggest coalition. I mean, it's not just the working class people, but I mean, the Republican Party is no longer the neocons, right? The Republican Party now is the party of middle America, of working America, of people who want the American dream. The Democrats are the elites. Or the subsidized people, right? And that's kind of it. The snobs, the elites, the Hollywood types, or the subsidized people. And as we've been saying all along, there are more of us than there are of them. But Scott Jennings on CNN, and you could tell they were all tired, but he was kind of spilling out some hard truths last night. And so, Doug, if we could please play the Jennings soundbite.
I think I'm interpreting the results tonight as the revenge of just the regular old working class American, the anonymous American who has been crushed, insulted, condescended to. They're not garbage. They're not Nazis. They're just regular people who get up and go to work every day and are trying to make a better life for their kids. And they feel like they have been told to just shut up when they have complained about the things that are hurting them in their own lives. I also feel like this election, as we sit here and pore over this tonight, is something of an indictment of the political information complex. I mean, we've been sitting around here for the last couple of weeks, and the story that was portrayed was not true. Mean, we were told Puerto Rico was going to change the election. Liz Cheney, Nikki Haley voters, women lying to their husbands. Before that, it was Tim Walz in the camo hats. Night after night after night, we were told all these things and gimmicks were going to somehow push Harris over the line. And we were just ignoring the fundamentals. Inflation, people feeling like that they were barely able to tread water at best. That was the fundamentals of the election.
I think so. And I think, I wanted to talk a little bit then, Chuck, I think the biggest loser in all of this really is the legacy media. I think this clearly for years, they have been shouting up and down that Trump is Hitler. Trump is a Nazi. Trump is a threat to democracy. Trump is a felon. Trump is all of this stuff. They indicted him. They tried to disqualify him. They tried to throw him off the ballot. They tried to impeach him. They made up all of these lies. And the people, I think, are just not listening to the legacy media anymore. And I see we got Sherry. Sherry, I'll get you in a second. But one thing I want to point out, I've covered a ton of elections. Normally on election night, I mean, and I'm pretty good anymore. I'm flipping back and forth between the networks, seeing who's saying what. Chuck, I don't know, you were at a watch party last night.
I
And
was
I'm
at, I have to say, I was at a watch party of grassroots Republicans at the only big house owned by a grassroots Republican. I mean, we all go, wait a minute, we can't be here. They're going to throw us out of here pretty soon. I mean, this place is huge.
And the thing is, and you guys are watching it, but normally then I go to the Denver Post. I look at Colorado politics. Colorado politics and the Denver Gazette were worthless for election results coming in. The Denver Post, on the Secretary of State's office. You know what I was watching last night? Fox was annoying me so much, right? Yeah, Fox was like 100% of the vote is in for Georgia. And Fox is like, oh, okay, it's too close to tell, or we still can't call it. I was watching Steve Bannon on the War Room, okay? And I was reading the results coming in on Twitter, on X. The interesting thing about that is Steve Bannon, the legacy media has lost the technology race. Well, at least they don't win it anymore. So Steve Bannon and John Solomon and that, I don't know her name, the woman who has done some filling in for him, they're essentially on a balcony. They're standing behind a table in a balcony at a hotel someplace, right? And they're bringing in their election results. They didn't have teams of tech people. They're on their cell phones scrolling, right? John Solomon was on top of it more than any of the legacy media. He was like, well, you know, I just talked to my sources in the Democrat Party in North Carolina, and they say they're going to call it here probably in the next, you know, half hour. He said they lost, right? Boom, that happens. I'm looking at X, and it's having the results in real time, more accurately, faster than any of the legacy media. I think, so number one, their technology reign is over. You can do, like, we're doing this from our basement, right? With a microphone and a couple of laptops. You don't need entire production staffs or anything like that, who are filtering this stuff anyway. And I just think, and so, you know, John Solomon and Steve Bannon did a great job, very low tech, but they had reporters live at all the battleground states. They had reporters live at Mar-a-Lago. A side note, I think it's funny, Trump banned some of the, I think he banned the ABC reporter from there. You don't, not only do you not need the legacy media anymore, but they have proven themselves such liars and so distrustful that people aren't even paying attention, don't you think?
I think, well, you know, when they had Jennings talk to those people, that was a legacy media, you know, right. Van Jones and Jake Tapper and everybody else. And they're all looking at him like, we hate you.
We hate you.
We absolutely, totally hate you.
Let me get Sherry's online one. Hey, Sherry, thank you for waiting. Go ahead. Hey, a great day, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I kind of wanted to go back to your first topic on that there were more registered voters this year, and yet apparently in 2020, a bunch of them seemed to just disappear off the map. Remember when everybody was yelling drain the swamp in 2020 and 2016 really?
Right.
So this executive order that Biden signed 4 years in a row that Trump put out, I think it's going to come into play. The national emergency, National Guard, cybersecurity, the 13848, because they can get them. He has standing now because they have all the fraud. They already were winning court cases before the election. He now has standing that they can go back and do something about these crooked elections that have gone on forever. So,
yeah, no, that's true. I'll make some changes because you're right. They're not going to stop. Okay. Hey, Sherry, thank you. Good call there. Good call.
Bye-bye.
Let's see. From Charlene, it took Kamala all day to get the rent-a-crowd for her concession speech. That's why they didn't do it earlier. That's pretty funny, Charlene.
Yeah, to crowd and also to both write it for her and have her try to read it. What's that word?
Banning was great, Jacob says. I agree. From Charlene, this I think is funny too. Yeah, the Dems imported the Latinos and they voted for Trump. Law of unintended consequences. Yeah, maybe they'll close the border now. If all the Hispanic votes are going for Trump, maybe they won't. Newsmax had good coverage. And Jacob, how about the stock market? Yeah, I think they hit a record high today, right? Stock market was going up. But I think though, with the legacy media, what's interesting in this race, too, is Gen Z, which are people born roughly 1997 to like 2012. So Rev is barely at 13, a Gen Zer. And these people, these kids, I think, broke for Trump. And they don't, Rev doesn't watch TV, right? I mean, he's pretty informed for a 13-year-old, but he watches TikTok. He watches YouTube. And I think this Gen Z, I mean, I think, you know, Barron Trump, if he was the advisor, was brilliant. It's like, so Kamala Harris did an interview, which had to be heavily edited and they cheated on at CBS. That was, you know, maybe a few million people watched it. Donald Trump does Joe Rogan and millions of people watch it, right? The legacy media, why, if you're a political candidate, and this is what I want to get your opinion on this, Chuck. If you're a political candidate, forget debates, right? Forget going on these network shows where they're just going to do hack jobs. Go be on Joe Rogan, where you can sit there for 3 hours and you can just talk. And I think that's much more effective. And I think that's going to take a different kind of political candidate, don't you think, Chuck?
No, I think it'll be the same kind of candidates. And I don't think the debates drove out Joe Biden. And so it really made a huge difference. But it will be going to a lot more sources. You know, it's not just a couple papers and three networks that do it and so forth. I mean, you do have to. He was on not only Joe Rogan, but he was on a couple other influencers that I've never heard of.
Right.
That apparently, you know, were great.
But you're getting your information from Fox News, right? That's the kind of. No, I mean, yeah. I think that the legacy media, as I've said before, I don't think they're going to go away. If you like Morning Joe, you're going to still keep watching Morning Joe, but they're going to become increasingly irrelevant. And their ability to drive a narrative, first, they live in their own bubble and they're so insufferable, but their idea to create a narrative, to drive it, and to do all of that, I think is significantly diminished, don't you think?
Yeah, they can't drive it. Before, all you had to do was get the New York Times to do it in the morning, and then the other stations would pick it up, and then it'd be out by Associated Press to all the other newspapers in the United States, all of which were left-leaning. It's pretty easy, and they used to say at the Times, if you know, we say whether it's, if it's not, we say it's not news, and it's not news, and then came. You know, the not long boats, but whatever carries groups, swift boats, and they couldn't bury it. You know, they couldn't bury it. And it's the first time I'd ever seen where the legacy media couldn't kill a story. So they eventually had to, you know, poo-poo it, but they had to cover it.
Right. Well, and Charlene says here she hasn't watched Fox since 2020 when Tucker left rather than compromise. Yeah. So I think that's going to be the biggest loser. I think that the corporate media, and like you said, Van Jones and those guys are sitting there looking at Jennings saying, we hate
they're
you.
They're just going to kill him.
Because he's pointing out, you guys are irrelevant. Clearly, no one is listening to them. Trump, what? He won the popular vote. He won by more than any president, like in or any Republican in like 20 years. They screamed louder than they ever had before. And half the country wasn't listening to them at all.
Well, who would have believed it 8 years ago now, when Trump came down the elevator and said, well, a lot of these immigrants are rapists and killers and murderers. And they all laughed at him. They said, well, that's the end of his campaign. And now, and 8 years later, you know, he's carrying the Latino vote. I mean,
right. Well, and from Charlene, yeah, Chuck, the legacy media can't bury the stories anymore. No, they can't. Nor can they just create the stories. And again, I think that's only going to become more of a problem as from a technical point of view, the so-called citizen, Chuck, wake up. I know you were at the party late last night. I know the so-called citizens journalists, you know, they have the technology now. I mean, you can do everything with a cell phone that you can do with a TV network, really, right?
Yeah.
So you don't need all of that. And you have the credibility. And again, I look at this younger generation coming up, and there, I think, I look at Revan, I think Trump was wise to court them. You know, Kamala Harris tried to do whatever the brat girls thing is or something like that. And, you know, the celebrities, and turns out, shockingly, nobody's listening to Lady Gaga or Beyonce either, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a game changer in a lot of ways. And
yeah.
The Democrats, if I was a Democrat, I'd be mystified at this point. That's what I do. I mean, yeah, I can wait for the Republicans to screw up, and that's always a good idea. But you really kind of go, well, let's see, can we go more feminist? No, we probably can't. Can we try to appeal to men? That's just not in our DNA. You know, then you know, all these, we're the as you said, we're the party of the single catless ladies. I mean, we can't tell men we think they're great. I mean, that's awful. No.
No, well, that's a good point. I mean, it's interesting looking already. The finger pointing is everybody's now they're blaming Kamala, they're blaming Tim Walz, they're blaming, you know, all of the it. Like you thought, I think it's funny that you know Trump's Hitler, yet they're the party that couldn't have a Jewish person on the ballot, which as it turned, which as it turned out, might have been a mistake. You know, let's talk a little bit about Colorado. Some good things. I mean, good things and bad things. I think the best thing of all is Prop 131. I was surprised by this. Lost, and it lost significantly. The ranked choice voting and the jungle primaries lost significantly. You weren't anticipating that either, were you?
I you know, I would have bet our house. We'd be homeless right now if somebody had given me a bet on would 131 pass. They had they had $15 million in advertising. The opponents, you know, raise a couple hundred, nothing, nothing.
Right.
And you never have that. You never have one side gets to tell its story. And yeah, and they, you know, Ken Thierry, who was the guy behind it, always hires these great advertising groups. It makes it sound like, oh, you know, we want to have everybody be able to participate. And we want to have it so that the extremes don't get it. And that the average, you know, it's all bullshit. It was just in line with all the billionaires and outside business interests. You want to be able to just go out. You don't have to get nominated. You just have to get a little army of people
by an election,
put the signatures for you, and then start advertising the hell. Talk about not going to debates, not going to anything. You just do endless advertising. And it was backed. I mean, it was backed by John Hickenlooper backed it.
Jared Polis.
Jared Polis.
Sandra saying, bet Dick Wadhams is PO'd. Yeah.
Dick Wadhams, as to be expected, was paid as a consultant on it. You know, Dick doesn't just endorse. You gotta pay.
Well, and that would have, I mean, that is really a bullet dodger because that would have fundamentally changed things. But what I find interesting is that it was up in, I think, like six other states, seven other states. It lost everywhere by significant margins, and everywhere they were horrendously outspent, except for in Washington, D.C., which doesn't really count. I have my theory on why it lost so much, but why
well,
do you?
Well, I'd like to hear it because somebody said, well, you mean all the voters read the thing? And God, no.
No.
If you saw the ballot, you wouldn't have read that. I mean,
nor would you have understood it if you
blind by the time you got to that one if you're reading all of them.
Oh, I know. No, and the whole ranked choice voting jungle primary, I mean, it's complicated. I know I had to read it a bunch of times and research and stuff to figure out, no, exactly how would this work? And then you're like, okay, well, that's a terrible idea. My theory is that there has been enough discussion, in spite of the fact of that Kyle Clark and everybody tries to slam and silence and censor the so-called election deniers, there has been enough that's come out about the problems with the election, like in Colorado, Jenna Griswold leaking the passwords, right? Enough that's come out with the problems with the election that I think there is just this general feel, not just in Colorado, but in other parts of the country, that, you know what, that just not mess with the elections. And I think people were just skeptical. And I think people are more skeptical now than they used to be. And I think that there were people who were just like, why are they pushing this? And who is pushing this?
Well, in addition to theory, it was Kathleen Murdoch, you know, the
right.
daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch, Chevron Corporation. Oh yeah, they're big for getting the
they're
little
big for American grassroots.
Yeah, they're a grassroots supporter, you know. Chevron Corporation was a big one, and just a whole litany of and then at the very end, the left-wing groups threw some pennies into it, League of Conservation Voters, and they. Teachers unions, but they all put just, you know, a few pennies.
Right.
And yet it lost overwhelmingly. And you said it lost in six states. I mean,
every other place where it was up, it lost, except for Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. deserves it.
Well, yeah, they don't count. From Sandra, I think people don't trust the Democrats nor the Rhinos anymore. And I think you're right, Sandra. I think that there is just this healthy skepticism in the American public right now. And they're kind of like, you know what? Anytime there's enough weirdness and questions about the election now, too. And now you got somebody who wants to do some fundamental changes. And I think it's like when you said, Chuck, sometimes people now are much more like when you don't understand it, you just vote no. You know what I mean? People are just like, yeah, that looks complicated. No, we don't need it. It's screwed up enough as it is. We don't need to go to yet another system that very likely, given the way the government works things, would be even more screwed up. So I think that's just what it was. And I think that's got to be a huge blow to Kent Theory, because I don't know, where does he go now? He's been trying for years to get this on the ballot, finally did.
He had a whole thing, let's have open voting and at the stage, and let's do this. And this is the culmination of all those efforts and millions upon millions of dollars. And he just has egg all over his face.
Right. And
he's
I don't know.
Probably shaken, kind of like, what do you mean I can't con everybody?
Yeah, what do you mean I can't buy the election? Hello, you stupid people.
Jesus Christ. When they put this rule in?
And then looking at the rest of the other things that passed in Colorado, let's see, they voted against the school choice thing. I voted for that. I agree with...
Thank you, Christian homeschooling educators to help destroy things just because you want no money going for kids. I mean, as I said, the devil does not come with horns. He comes with nice names like the Christian homeschooling educators.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's an opportunity missed, obviously.
Also to all you dumb people who are really pretty bright people who they said, yeah, but we have trouble with language here because that may take away rights from parents. You go, bull. They don't need that language to take away from parents.
They'll just go, I think the Republican Party, what did Dave Williams put out? That they stopped the bleeding. So I think they didn't, basically nothing changed. Everybody in Colorado who you thought was going to win won. Everybody who you thought was going to lose and Republican lost. Gabe Evans, it's pretty tight. They haven't called it yet, but I think when that all is said and done, I think he's going to lose there too. Kind of weirdness in Denver. On the one hand, they didn't vote for the raising their taxes for affordable housing, but they did agree to raise their taxes for the hospital thing. Kind of a mixed bag. They voted down the mountain lion ban. What I wanted to talk about a little. So as always with some of these ballot issues, there's sort of a mixed bag there. I don't think there's any clear whatever, you know what I mean? This is a, obviously is a predictor of that. I think one thing though, Trump got 43% of the vote in Colorado. So people are saying, Kyle Clark, they're like, Colorado is clearly blue. And I want to clarify that. The front range is clearly blue. Sandra, as you pointed out at the beginning, of the 64 counties in Colorado, I think 41 of them voted for Trump, and then 23 of them voted for Kamala Harris, right? So the vast majority of counties in Colorado voted Republican. It is the front range. And the problem you have here, Chuck, it's just sheer demographics. When you have some of the rural counties, which voted very solidly for Trump, but they're being, counted in the hundreds of votes. And then you've got Denver in the front range, which is being counted in the hundreds of thousands of votes. You can't overcome that. What do you think?
Well, I always have the opinion that nothing really changed or radically changed from back in 2000, when Republicans had the House and the Senate, and they were going to get the, with Owens the governorship, and 18 years later when they got frozen out, and now they've gotten, they can't get a statewide elected one.
No.
I mean, they are.
Well, that's because of the front range, though.
What's the difference between 2016, when Trump lost by 5 points, and 2024, where he loses by 13 or 14, what has changed? I mean, back in 2000, everybody, the Republicans, I was thrilled everybody was moving in from California, because those were refugees from California who didn't really, were not going, hey, maybe we can screw this state up next. And yet, I mean, they're bluer. We're bluer than New Jersey. We're bluer than Delaware. We're so blue.
What I want to clarify is it's not the entire state. It is.
Well, it never is. It's the most populated area.
But I think that's an important distinction when you look at, okay, so what do we do, right? Because I know there's some people whining about, oh, the Colorado Republican Party didn't do much. I guess I got to say, I don't know if you're the Colorado Republican Party. And you know what? I'll even say, whether it's Ken Buck or Dave Williams or Christy Burton Brown, when you have 182,000 people in Denver alone voting for Kamala Harris, I mean, how do you, I mean, the front range clearly dominates. And I'm not sure, and this I don't know because I was thinking about this. So that can't all be ballot harvesting, right? And Colorado, when you look at the map, Colorado is clearly, the front range of Colorado was clearly not in step with the rest of Colorado, not in step with the rest of the country.
Yeah, but I mean, they're well-educated, generally speaking.
Why are they so progressive? I mean, what's wrong with people in Denver?
I don't know what's wrong with people in Denver. Well, what's wrong with people in Arapahoe County now? What's wrong with people in Jefferson County, all of which used to be, you know, suburbs that'd be Republicans, all of which are suburbs and
except
Democrat
for
now.
The great folks down there in Douglas County. I mean, Jefferson, Adams, Arapahoe, Denver, Boulder, I think Larimer. I mean, all of the Front Range counties are all overwhelmingly Democrat. And I have to say, again, I think that is the problem that we face as Republicans is that that's not just ballot harvesting. That's as I said, I think it starts back, Chuck, in 2014, when a bunch of really bright Democrat strategists like Ted Trimpa and a bunch of really rich, very progressive donors got together and put together the Blueprint Colorado, which is a systematic plan to turn Colorado blue. They did. And they have now a well-funded, well-oiled machine. But it also is more than that. There are, like, people in Denver, I have that friend, I don't know what's wrong with them. She was complaining, this was a year ago, that she couldn't use a rec center because it was filled with illegal immigrants, right, who were staying here. But I guarantee you, she voted for Kamala Harris, right? And that you see that over and over again with the people of Denver. You see businesses closing, restaurants leaving, all that kind of stuff. And you know, the minimum wage, and yet they keep voting for Mayor Johnson. Why do you think that is, Chuck?
Because they're insane. When it comes down to it, I think I'm going to figure it out. By the next broadcast, I'll figure out what we have to do to get Colorado. So it's at least New Mexico. I mean,
right.
New Mexico is considered, you know.
Right.
I mean,
well, here's what I think.
Look at all the places around us. Look at Wyoming. Look at Nebraska. Look at you know, every state around us. Other than Mexico, but
well, Colorado, it's California, it's Illinois, it's some of these.
No, we're not Illinois. We're not even Illinois. Illinois was only 5 points. We're more progressive than Illinois.
Right. And I think, and again, it is to a great extent, it is the voters, it is the people. And here's what I think. Some guy was.
Well, we've got to do something to the people in the state.
Well, I think here's the thing. The good news is, well, not good news, is they're doing it to themselves. A guy was tweeting, and I think he's right. He said the one hope is that they are slowly destroying Denver. You see businesses closing. Sooner or later, it's going to get so bad that even the progressive nut jobs who live in Denver and vote in Denver are going to be like, you know what? Actually, I think this whole homeless thing isn't working. You know, I mean, I think that's the only thing to save Denver. It's got to get so bad that people finally just are like, okay,
well,
we got to.
But you think, you know, the Democrats have taken the most beautiful area in the world, the most beautiful state with more resources, money, coastline, everything else, and totally made it a hellhole. And yet.
Right.
They're just happily going along, voting along.
That's
and every
right.
once in a while, you get a source DA who's thrown out, but never is somebody said, well, maybe we shouldn't be Democrats. I mean,
right, right. No. And this is from Sandra. I'm hoping that Ted Trimpa, significant other, that's Arash Mosala. I really like him and know he's a Republican, works on Greg Gutfeld's show, turns Ted. Exactly. Charlene, I don't believe the numbers coming out of the Secretary of State's office. No, I think they have problems with the numbers, Charlene, but I think to be honest, I mean, clearly there are like way too many progressives in the front range in Denver. That's not just errors in the Secretary of State's office. And I think, you know, again, I'd say it wouldn't even be fair to blame KBB for that. It's some of these crabby people on Twitter and in Signal groups were saying, oh, the Colorado Republican Party didn't do enough. Again, I don't know what you do if you're the Colorado Republican Party and you have in the city of Denver alone 182,000 Democrats voting for Kamala,
this
no matter what.
Everything is Dick Wadham's fault. I mean, they had another, proposition which limited all the money to the parties. You can't believe how little money actually goes to the Republican Party And you know, if you think they can do anything, they can't. They
No.
don't have very much money at
Well, they're
all, and by
tapping the same
design.
donors that the they're tapping the same donors that the candidates are, right?
Yeah.
It's not like they have this secret Rolodex that they don't tell anybody about. So I know you okay, good. Well, that's good. You're gonna get to work on that because Chuck, you're
I'm going to
really
solve what is wrong with Colorado.
Well, we have Dave Williams coming on Friday, so he'll be
Well,
glad
we'll
to
ask
hear that.
him. Yeah.
Well, no, you have to solve it. I want to
Okay.
move back to the thing that because there are a couple of fun things that are going in terms of what's next. So one of the things that the Department of Justice said today was that Jack Smith is going to go away. A lot of Trump's legal care, although the New York stupid AG says they're going to continue prosecuting Trump for whatever they can. It's like whatever. But they said they cannot prosecute a sitting president. So a lot of the federal legal cases are going to go away. And so they were talking about that today on Fox. So Doug, if we could please play the Jack Smith gone soundbite.
We have some news about special counsel Jack Smith, this man right here. Donald Trump said recently that he would fire Jack Smith, quote, within 2 seconds of taking office. Well, we found out that he may not have that opportunity. The reason is that the Department of Justice, where Jack Smith works, cannot prosecute a sitting president. Fox News is told that Jack Smith will be gone from his post as special counsel, meaning the cases will be gone before Trump takes the oath of office at noon on January 20th. This is the documents case, though that was dropped already by Judge Eileen Cannon back over the summer, and it's on appeal, but also this case for Trump's alleged efforts to try to overturn the 2020 election. So given the fact DOJ policy says you cannot prosecute a sitting president, expect Jack Smith's cases to be done. The last case, and I'll end on this, is that Atlanta case that deals with the 2020 elections. That's a local Georgia case. We've seen over the last year how that has played out with Fani Willis, Nathan Wade. That has many problems, many different delays. So the bottom line for my story to all of you right now, Donald Trump's legal problems have essentially all gone away since he won last night.
Although I'd say not all. I mean, he still has the E. Jean Carroll thing, and he still has that
What's going, you know,
outrageous.
he's got his sentencing in about a week.
Right. And although I think that looks like, I mean, the judge has been kind of waffling on that, saying things, because I mean, if it
Why? It's because his
technically.
daughter made over $1 million during the trial, and now he's got everything he needs.
Right. And well, yeah. Now, I don't think, again, the New York AG, I think, is saying, they're going to go after Donald Trump for everything. I think they will continue to do that. It wouldn't be surpri I wouldn't surprise me if they want to try to throw him in jail. But I think if you're the Democrat party, I think maybe you say maybe that's not that off. That didn't
Well,
work.
maybe the new Justice Department, whoever heads that up, ought to take some cases up
Exactly.
about indicting Letitia James.
Exactly. And from Sandra, probably not a good idea since New York killed an innocent squirrel and raccoon, but that peed off quite a few people in New York. And I mean, New York, the state. Well, yeah, and that kind of leads us another soundbite I want to play. This is hilarious. One of the things that is the, I think, besides a poor squirrel and raccoon being dead, that's worse about that is it wasn't a case of the government breaking the law. That was a case of the government following the law. That's how out of control it is that they have every right to go do that and that they did, right? And which leads to there was a somebody had a great thing they put out there on X where they said, all the times the Democrats have said threat to democracy, threat to democracy, threat to democracy. Well, they did an AI generated thing where they replaced the word democracy with bureaucracy. And when
That's
you listen
great.
to that, it makes total sense. And that's what the whole Democrat plan was. So, Doug, if we could please play the bureaucracy soundbite.
Democrats fail. It might be the end of American bureaucracy.
Our bureaucracy really is in fundamental peril.
The foundations of American bureaucracy under attack.
They want to destroy our bureaucracy.
We are a bureaucracy in danger.
We're watching an election where people are on the ballot openly advocating the end of bureaucracy.
That's what Republicans are doing, attacking bureaucracy, attempting to destroy bureaucracy, and they're doing it with glee.
This is the end of bureaucracy in America.
When will America stop sleepwalking towards the end of bureaucracy?
Right. It's Democrats versus, as Bill Kristol says, the end of bureaucracy.
We are
essentially, as Neil put it, one vote away from sort of the end of bureaucracy as we know it.
I think our bureaucracy and the stability of that bureaucracy is really the thing on the ballot and really so important.
And you know what? Here's the thing. They're right, Chuck. It really was the end of bureaucracy, sort of was on the ballot. From Sandra, what a bunch of idiots. And then Charlene, that's hilarious. And then from Sandra, bye-bye to the corporate media, to the corporate media. I mean, but that is true. And I think that's what people saw to a certain extent, right? It was the end of bureaucracy. And they knew that too. And that's why they were so desperate about it.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect, whoever did that was brilliant, because what do they mean by democracy? You know, it's going, and when you go, well, they mean these huge, you know, federal bureaucracy, you go, oh yeah, that's true.
So, and for the final few minutes, I want to talk about sort of like what next, okay? From Charlene,
voting,
keep Pompeo
holding it over people you know who are Democrats.
Gloating, making them feel bad.
Mocking them, you know. And you know, all the traditional post-election kind of activities if you win.
One thing I think going into this, and it was Mike Davis from the Article 3 Foundation was talking about this, and I think he's right. It's like, I think on one level, Trump is still Trump going in, but I think this is a much wiser sort of in the, you know, ways of politics, Trump. I think that Trump is, you know, they're all worried he's going to take revenge. I sure as heck hope he does take revenge, because I want him to take revenge.
Well, he's got to go after the people who visited Lawfare on him, or they'll do it against an expert going, oh, what's, you know, okay, we didn't win the election, but next time maybe we will. I mean, there's got to be some consequences for all, you know, the Mark Eliases and the Wisemans and everyone else. And they've got to go after some of these people. And you know, Comey, well, you know, I mean, Comey literally after the end of the election 2016 got together with these guys figuring out how to destroy the new presidency. I mean, it's just, it was a conspiracy that in Roman times that you'd be executed for.
That's right. And I think Trump is that, I think, you know, like I said, I think his staff is going to be Barron, Melania, Eric, Don Jr., Laura. I mean, hopefully, and I think he is this time. I don't think he's going to be fooled. I don't think he's going to listen to anything anybody tells him as to what he should do. Elon Musk, I think, is going to have a role somehow. Who
Elon
knows?
Musk is going to rule the world.
Well, he's doing, yeah, but who knows? You know, Jeff Bezos, I think this is funny. He's tweeted like twice in his whole life. And he the second time was today when he congratulated Trump. He's like really sucking up. He's like, look, I didn't do that editorial, okay? And now I'm congratulating you. Good job. Hey. Don't destroy Amazon.
We're all in it together, you know.
Yeah, we're all in it together. You know, I think that Trump is going to be smarter. I mean, Charlene. Okay, so Sandra says Vivek Ramaswamy is attorney general. Tulsi is head of the Department of Defense or Secretary of State. Charlene, they have to go after these people. Americans shouldn't have to go through this gaslight again. Yeah, I don't know who he's going to pick. I have a feeling he's got some pretty good, ideas, right? I think one of the most brilliant things he did is he's not working. Remember that the Democrats have the transition team, and he's like, no, that's cool. You know what I mean? I got my own transition team.
Well,
I don't need
to. His first transition team was Chris Christie.
Yeah.
He was the one who got him all these people who were on paper really great, but it was practical. All were working against the agenda he had and didn't believe in the agenda.
No. Well, there was a deep state, right? They just believed in the preserving
they
the
deep state people.
They were worried he was a threat to bureaucracy, right? That was what it all came down to. Trump learned from the 2016 backstabbers. I don't know who he's going to put. I mean, you read things about, you know, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. isn't going to be the head of the FDA, but he's going to be like a health czar and he's going to go in and get rid of all kinds of stuff. I don't know, but I have a feeling it's going to be great. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be great. I think the economy is going to turn around really rapidly, like he did when he was in there the first time. Here's the thing too. Daga said, is it true Elon is buying CNN for $3 billion? I don't know. Oh, somebody was saying what he should do is, you know, on the next Starlink that goes to Mars, he could put Barbara Streisand, Lady Gaga, all the people who said they were going to leave America, he could send them up to Mars.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. And keep them.
That's right.
I mean, it's you know, most of the time after a president is elected, you worry, will they keep their promises? Or were they just bullshit promises and they have no intention of doing them and or have the will to do them? Here, no. There's no question. Is he going to follow through with these promises? Because they're really promises to himself. You know, I'm going to do that. He's not going, oh, just to make you happy, I'll kind of get rid of the head of the FBI. No. I mean, they're all personal enemies of his that he wants to destroy. I mean, no, it's
He
been.
doesn't have to worry about a second term, right? It's
Yeah.
like,
And at his age, you know, I mean, kind of like, oh, what the hell? I mean, it's going to be wild. And then the legacy media is going to jump up and down. You can't do this. This is outrageous.
and
And
no one's going
nobody's
to
going to
listen to
listen to
them.
him. Oh, screw that.
It's the end of bureaucracy as we know it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be more fun over the first 2.5 months where they'll try to, you know, indict him for Logan Act violations or put him in jail in Manhattan and so forth. And then the day he, you know, January 21st coming up, I mean, that's going to be fireworks day.
Oh, it's
That
super.
is
Yeah,
going to be fireworks
Charlene
day.
is saying Dana White for something. They should make Dana White maybe be the communications director. He could be
Put him
that.
in charge of the DEI military. I mean, say, okay, no more
We're gonna dismantle that.
DEI military.
Hey,
Okay.
listen, that is gonna wrap it up for us. As promised, Chuck will have solved the Colorado Republican Party or the
At least
Colorado
partially.
Republican.
I'm not saying I'm gonna have a whole solution, but I'll have a working thesis that'll start the ball rolling, so we'll figure out what the hell's wrong with the state.
And we'll have Dave on so you can explain it to him. So thank you to everybody. Great comments today. Enjoy today. As Chuck says, go gloat.
Go gloat, go watch the reruns of MSNBC. Just, you know, go on CNN today. Just have all your favorite lefties on television, or you know, the Fox News, you know, the Martha McCallum and Bret Baier and
Of
so
all
forth.
being said.
We always were for Trump.
And we
Yeah.
will see you all on Party Friday. Bye,
All right, take
everybody.
care, everybody. Bye bye.